When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Tillamook Chocolate Collection ice cream is a total chocolate game changer. We start with unbelievably creamy dark chocolate ice cream. Then we add different chocolate treats, like chocolate cookies, chocolate cake, or chocolate brownies, to make four decadent chocolate flavors. Because sometimes the thing that pairs best with chocolate is more chocolate. Tillamook Chocolate Collection ice cream. Extraordinary dairy.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
You're teaching her how to be a diva. Like, all these don't, these don't fit
on these hoes at the playground. I am indeed
teaching someone how to stunt on the hoes on the playground as a fucking 2-year-old is hilarious.
Mess. Come on in. Welcome to Fly on the Wallin Podcast. This is the show about marriage, about sex, about parenting, and recording it all for the world to see. I'm your neighborhood friendly black girl, Amber.
And I'm Ben.
Hey, baby, how you doing today?
Amazing. I'm here with you. You got a full lip on. You're not wearing any jewelry. Naked like the day you were born.
Naked? I'm naked right now.
Yeah, it's you look so naked. The only jewelry you have is a little septic ring.
Septic. Septum. Septum.
Yeah.
Septic is like the tank, the plumbing.
Sewage system.
So I look like sewage, is what you said.
Nope, that's, see, this is catastrophizing. Amber is a master catastrophizer. You'll be like, oh, you look so beautiful. Well, you are implying I didn't look beautiful yesterday because you didn't say that yesterday.
I think that's fair.
What else do you do? Catastrophizing is
tell
super.
Me that you, tell me I'm beautiful every day. What's the problem with that?
I don't know. I do tell you you're beautiful every day, but sometimes it's like you said that weird. You said beautiful. You said beautiful.
Because you rarely say I look beautiful. You'll say like, oh, your nose looks like sewage and plumbing.
I would never.
You just did.
No,
that's the example that
I
you just had.
I mispronounced it. It's called the septum.
Septum. T-U-M.
Septum.
You said septic. T-I-C.
I always get those mixed up, septum and septic.
Ben, I have to ask you a question. Okay. Do you think that you're jealous of me and the name of my fan base?
Oh, yeah, Amber. No, I'm not jealous. Jealous of you, really.
Are
jealous?
You mad that you're, like, you're in the borough? So
the
what's the
Amber-o.
Problem?
I like to call it the Amber-o. So Amber needed to make something up to, like, call all her followers. Correct?
Yes. My cousins, friends
cousins.
Of the internet.
Internet cousins is another thing. Hello, yep. Internet cousins.
Yeah.
But then you wanted to create like a beehive type of situation.
Of course.
Or the barbs. Is the
I am
one.
A social media icon
we
at this point
this
in
last
time.
Week. Yes. You are a social media icon. So now if you are listening to this podcast, you are one of the chosen few. You are part of the Amber-o.
The borough.
The borough. The borough-verse. The borough.
The borough.
The borough. So you
there's,
come on.
And there's lots of people
dig,
in the borough.
Dig in. Get down dirty.
There's honey bunnies. There's carrots. That's mm-hmm. the Patreon. Join Patreon. Link.
And I'm the episode snow. I'm the snow bunny. Is
you're
that,
you're.
Is that what
you're? The,
we,
you're a snow bunny.
That's
yes.
what we established.
I guess you are the snow bunny. Yes.
The capital T H E snow bunny.
Do you want a name for your fan base?
No, I don't have a fan base.
Yes, you do. People love you.
And they do, but they love. They are here for you. They
yes,
love me,
of course.
But they're here for
they're
you.
They're here for me, but they will tolerate you.
Mm-hmm. No, they love me. There's more than toleration. I don't need a name for my fan base. I'm part of the borough. It's all together.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm your snow bunny. I dig into that ground. I get Dr. right
Umar
up in there.
Is like banging his head into the wall somewhere right now. I'm your fan,
Dr. Umar.
You know who Dr. Umar is, right?
Yeah, I saw he was on a Nick Cannon episode recently talking about the N-word and how the N-word is no longer owned by black people.
Yeah. Sometimes he has a point. Mm-hmm. But most times he's just angry and mad about some things. But he makes some good points. He's very knowledgeable about how our people have been mistreated. Yep.
Yeah, so that's – I do know Dr. Umar. Yep. He strikes me as somewhat of a misogynist at points. But, you know, to each his own.
He strikes me. Oh, my gosh. You want to talk about some things on the internet?
Yeah.
Some more people
and
things?
Is it still up and running?
The internet is unfortunately still up. Well, fortunate for us, but unfortunate for the American consciousness. The internet is still up and running.
It hasn't been hacked by the Russians yet.
Not yet, but Wild's working on it.
What happened to a
previous joke?
Wild is working on.
Remember that one where she was hacking?
Oh yeah, she
into
was hacking into the mainframe. She's like do.
I know.
Saying
like
Miss
when you
Rachel.
Laugh at your own joke. Yes.
Do. Yes. Wasn't there something that happened? It's like something viral.
Yes. The first segment of our show is called Hashtag #Influence. Is it time for the hashtag? Hashtag #Influence. Okay, so. We have been enjoying weeks and weeks of the Who the Fuck Did I Marry series slash saga that is still sort of happening. So for those of you who don't know, has your phone been cut off? Like, what is going on?
She is now repped by Risa Tisa, is repped by the Creative Arts Agency. If you're not familiar
CAA.
With him, CAA, it's the most well-known, most well-respected, probably wealthiest agency in the U.S. probably.
Yes. Yes, it is.
And now she's got a blue check on TikTok.
Yes, Risa.
She's over 3 million followers.
Risa has Risa has a blue check, and now she is repped by the
Should we
best agency of all time.
Some story for you that you can go on, tell a long story.
No.
Amber's a great storyteller. You should do the Risa Tisa method. Yeah, you should do the Risa Tisa method and think of some crazy long story that you should share.
I have hundreds of those. Yes. Well, she has done something. I'm never going to truly hate on a black queen. Like, Risa Tisa told the story in 50 parts, 10 minutes each, and some additional lives and everything. She told the story about how she married a pathological liar and got pregnant by him. She detailed everything from the day that they first met.
Did she
all
have
the way
kid?
To the... No, you didn't watch the series?
I didn't know that.
Yep, well... Spoiler alert, she had a miscarriage, and she shared that in the series. But yes, so now even the guy who's the Legion in the story has been doing subsequent interviews as well. Risa Tisa has been doing interviews. She was recently on the Tamron Hall show.
And Good Morning America.
Good Morning America. Like, what? She is on the full press tour right now. Yeah. And good for her. She experienced this. Like, why can't – I like that gatekeeping is – becoming a thing of the past now when it comes to like whose stories deserve to be told. So I'm glad that she's getting her. Everybody's like, she's doing this for clout for 15 minutes. The fuck? So have you seen this economy? Have you seen your credit score? Do what you got to do. Like, remember that guy like James Frey that wrote like a million little pieces or something?
Oh, yeah. And
Oprah was on his show. Yeah, he like fabricated half of the things in the book. But guess what? Stylistically, it was a well-written book.
I did not read it, but yeah.
People do things like that all the time. I started reading it when it was on Oprah's list many moons ago, but it was like, he lied about some of this. We all love a good piece of fiction. We like a good story. So anyway, I brought up Risa Tisa because now because of the subsequent interviews and things like that, there have been larger conversations pertaining to people's body types and how they look about if they're more susceptible to being manipulated and hoodwinked. So
that's the funniest shit I've ever heard.
Yes.
Like, as if skinny bitches are not
skinny
scammed.
Bitches have never been manipulated, never been abused, never been scammed,
never been kidnapped and put in a room and forced to have a kid. Brie Larson, the room.
Only air quote big backs.
What the hell? What a crazy fucking term. No, the term is so self explanatory, but also so fucking mean.
It's so mean.
It's like, fuck you, Charlamagne the God. who called her. It was like, oh, that's big back energy. What the? What are you fucking kidding me?
And he's trying to be like, well, I didn't even see a picture of her before.
He got like
I
that fake. He gives me fake brow energy. You see his nasty ass brows. They're like,
oh.
They look literally. You talking shit? Like someone took a permanent marker to your face.
Oh shit!
And drew on some fucking brows.
Fuck him up, man.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's just not like
giving bald energy bitchiness. That's what he gives. Sorry, don't come.
Frozen too. Okay, shit. Cook them. Let them cook. Good for you. I hate this. I hate that like a black woman is getting her day in the sun and finally sharing her experience of things. And some people are like, I've been lied to in this way as well. Like this was really, I knew that some people were going to criticize her and be like, why would you go to like the 15th house showing? Like at this point, he's manipulating you so many times. But just say things like, one of the lies that this guy told was that he was a VP of a company and that he was going to get her this BMW. He was going to let her see houses. And people were like, well, you should have known by how you looked that a VP would never be with you. So fucking mean.
I saw that Tamron Hall clip. Yeah. Yeah. And
I've seen plenty of ugly VPs.
Yeah.
Like, or ugly people in power. Not ugly, but just like.
Well, they're saying that they would have dated like a skinny woman instead of you. So you can be an ugly VP, but then you can get attractive women.
Still.
But I think like there are VPs who are great VPs and who are great capitalists and who would absolutely like be with Risa Tisa.
Literally. Or any like I just hate this notion that it's like, well, you should have known this was a lie because you're ugly and you're fat.
Yeah.
Like that's insane to think.
It's sort of so I know people who get scammed, and I'm like, come on. Like, you should know better, right? And I think there is that knee-jerk reaction.
Yes, of course.
But also, like, let's yell at the scammers and then privately tell the people who got scammed, like, hey, honey, like, maybe, like, this person isn't going to give you, like, a new car and, like, have you, you know.
I'm not an idiot. I live on planet Earth. We all have seen images of, like, when I used to watch Catfish, for example, like you would see this poor guy who's, you know, not in the best shape, acne everywhere. He still lives in his mom's house and he shows you the woman that he thinks he's talking to and in love with. You're like, now, sir, like this is a model. Like this so clearly is a model. Like, have you actually FaceTimed with this woman and things like that? Like you could maybe like I could understand when somebody's like, well, you should have known that wasn't that person. Like,
nah, I don't think so. But, like, people are—they have their insecurities, their desires
to be
connected.
You've seen Catfish when
you're
I do,
but and the
you're
onus
like, this
is
so
on the person.
Clearly, a model. Like, but, even when I go to parents' events and stuff like that to take Wild around places to like gymnastics or whatever, like you can look at that parent in the class. You're like, this is definitely an actor. This is an actor slash model slash. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know.
That one parent thing. It's like
she's not going to be dating someone. Okay.
But also, as somebody who has been now going to sex parties with Ben, there are tons of very beautiful women that have the most, we'll say different looking male partners.
But in the patriarchal society, we can't imagine that, you know, a woman who doesn't meet a particular body type would be with a man that is exceptional. So like beautiful, skinny women can be with ugly men, but like, I don't, not ugly, just men who are not, who are maybe like don't fit the standard body type.
Beauty. All right, gotcha.
But the inverse is not accepted.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Which didn't help that Charlamagne was saying that and he's like a black guy just like sort of wailing on her appearance. And then Jess Hilarious, which is a female comedian who's
the most ironic name ever.
A woman comedian. You better fucking eat, man. I unfollowed her many years ago, but
I think okay.
But you're kind of like, come on, Jess. Like you're one of the gals. Like
yeah, she
like
can,
stick up for us. Like
she can Charlamagne's be funny.
Gonna say something fucking stupid, but surely you're gonna say like, nah, man. Like she's a beautiful woman. Like stop. Like
yeah,
of course she.
It was the
like,
DJ. What was his name? Was
DJ Envy?
DJ Envy was sort of standing up. He's like, come on, you know. He was like standing up for her at one point, but then he didn't go all the way through. So here,
weak.
Yeah, well, Jess Hilarious, whatever, like, I don't fuck with her because she's fucking transphobic as hell. And,
yeah.
I mean, I can't deny, like, she does have, I've heard some funny jokes of hers.
Yeah, of course.
But I'm just, I'm tired of, like, kicking people down who are already treated so terribly.
Yes.
In our society.
And they gave and, us like, the bigger gift of vulnerability. It's yeah. so hard to be vulnerable. So when someone's vulnerable and then you still shit on them, you're like, ugh. Like, I don't know. I like to treat stories like this as, like, if my friend came up to me and told me a story about how she was manipulated, would I, like, because I make content, so I know what it's like to, like, look into the, you know, Toni Morrison describes it as, like, writing a book is like walking into a room that has all the lights off and you can't see anybody in there, but you put your hand out and then you feel someone touch your hand back. She's like, that's what it's like writing a great novel. It's like, I can't see anybody who's reading my book, but I feel that hand touch.
Yeah, you've
and there's some part of the internet that feels like that too. Like, I'm sharing the story with y'all of announcing my pregnancy to my husband, and you're watching this child grow up. So I'm walking into this dark room and I'm putting my hand up and I'm just hoping that somebody on the other side of the screen
feels
sees this and feels connected. And so it just feels
and
so
they feel seen and
yes,
and validated
yes.
and be like, this parenting is hard, but also love is great and you can connect with people and
yes.
yeah, all those. Yeah.
Yes. It's so it's so shitty that so many people, like people like Charlamagne and other people are like, well, you shouldn't make something on the internet and then post it and then think people aren't going to talk shit about you. And it's like, we know some people
sure,
will,
but we
I
can
didn't
be
expect,
kind.
But we can also be kind.
The and also, Charlamagne, the God, majority like, come on.
The vast majority of us can be kind. The vast majority of us can close our eyes and touch the palm.
He's like an A-list celebrity, and you're like making fun. Charlamagne the God?
A-list. He's very black famous, but
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I would call him an A-list celebrity. Next topic.
Oh, no. Let's talk about his apology. His shitty apology. Right.
I mean, yeah, I watched some of it and it was just like.
And then he wanted to
you
talk.
Know, I was
He's like,
joking.
I want to go
you
more.
You can't say anything these days.
No. I
did say that.
No, he did. But I want to talk about, he still doubled down on this idea. Like, let's talk about big backs and like big being. He's like, let's talk about it. Like, let's have a conversation as if.
As a mid-sized back girly, I'm really like, why, Charlamagne? You've never experienced this. Obviously, Jess is. You know, a sample size. Why are we talking about this topic in a room where somebody from this delegation is not represented?
Right. And
or like a proud, like it would have been more nuanced to be like, you know, as a proud big back myself, if somebody cool like came on the show and y'all did a riff about it. But like, it just feels like just bullying mean girl shit.
It is. And also there's no data to suggest, like, I don't know if Jess Hilarious could even spell data or say it correctly. But there's no data to suggest that being bigger makes you more susceptible to
scammers and pathological liars.
Right?
Yeah,
like there could be identities, but they didn't talk about studies or weight or like anything of value.
Literally.
There was like nothing of value. It's like, I'm just gonna say things to be controversial, and that is a huge problem where you don't really care about getting to the truth of a matter or learning or growing. Like, you just want downloads
yeah.
and listens and views.
I hate that. I'm just also so sick of the double standard. I'm so, you know, we recently saw a comedian come in at 1 a.m. and do this trash set where he was talking about, you know, females and like the only, like they're only good for fucking. Like, he was being serious. And then he was talking about, like, ladies, y'all letting yourselves go. Now, mind you, this guy's pretty big. Like, I'm like, what? Like, do you not see that you're a big guy, too? Like, why is this standard of excellence only excellence in behavior and physical stature? Like, only women have to meet this requirement.
Yeah.
Like, that's absurd. To get on stage as a plus size male comedian,
he couldn't
and talk
even
about
stand
women.
For his whole set.
He couldn't. He was seated the entire set. You were seated the entire set, and then talking about women's blood pressure.
To
like,
be fair,
what?
There's this like fat roller skater who can like do flips and shit. It's so fucking dope. She could probably stand. I can't. I my feet hurt so bad. I can't stand.
And oh my gosh! I was a full time yoga instructor. Some of my tiniest students are the weakest. Like. Yeah. And couldn't do things. So it's just like, are we it's just like so pathetic. It's like when you hear somebody make a gay joke. It's like, it's 20 fucking 24. Unless you add some nuance to it, being like, look at that man over there. He's gay. So, like, I hate when a comedian walks up and they're like, So I was riding an Uber the other day. My driver was gay.
Amazing.
Looks around the room for the joke. You're like,
What type of gay so? Was he? Like,
yeah. Like, what are you looking for from us? You had a gay Uber driver. Where's the joke? What's next?
Lazy joke writing.
Lazy. You're a lazy motherfucker. The next segment of our show is called Imperfect Parent.
Imperfect Parent.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's what I've been thinking about. And I'm not saying, I want to preface this by saying, I'm not saying I don't want to have a second kid. But I've been doing some reflecting. I've been doing
refracting
some reflecting lately. And I have been, I don't know. I just had a really good time in Napa with one of my girlfriends who was reminding me, like, she's like, you have so much right now. Like, you have an amazing career. You have a supportive husband. You have a beautiful, healthy daughter. Like, do you need another kid? Do you need another kid, or is everybody asking you when's the next one coming? Mm. She's like, so if you want another kid, sure. But are you just feeling societal pressure to have another one? Because people are constantly coming up to us saying, oh, is it going to be just you and Wild and Ben? Oh, you only have one kid? That's it? Like, so, and you know that. Like, I'm not trying to blame my family or whatever, but my brother just had a second kid, so now everybody's looking at me like, well, now his kid's got to have a kid to play with. You know what I mean? And so I've just really been doing some, and then I've come to you and
but you're
pressured
trying,
you about it.
Yeah.
Not pressure, but just like been like, well, Ben, maybe we should start, like Wild's going to be in daycare soon, so maybe we should start trying for number two. Like, there are past episodes where I'm like trying to convince you on baby number two, whereas now I'm getting to a point where I'm reading more articles about the perks of one and done. Or about the rise of the only child home. And what are all the perks that come with just having one child? Of course, I would never allude to the fact that having multiple children is not the way. But when I think about, like, you, me, and our lifestyle, there are a lot of perks to just having one.
Yeah, what were some of those perks that you realized?
It's, like, easy to find a babysitter because you only need the one. It's easier to travel because, you know, we take up a row. Just, it's easier financially. It's easier attending their sporting events and activities, and it's easier just from a lot of angles. And I never thought about it like that because I've always just wanted to recreate the family that I grew up in. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm being honest with you, I'm like, oh, my mother, I love my mother. She has three kids, so I should have three kids too. Where now this is, and again, I could be pregnant right now. Who fucking knows? But this is just me doing some real reflecting on, do I want a second child, or am I getting so many questions that I'm like, let's fuck it. Let's just do it, Ben.
Yeah, I've been making a lot of these daddy logs, basically me going around L.A. doing things with Wild, and people will comment like, oh, time to get in the bedroom for baby number two.
Yes, a lot of that. I'm getting a lot of the baby number two questions, so I'm like, is this what I want? Or like, is this what I want? Or are people just asking about it so much, I just want to have an answer to this question?
I think
I answer to this question that doesn't make people judge me. Because when you say to someone, like, I want to be one and done, the next question that you might get is, like, well, is something wrong? Like, is it, like, infertility? You're like, no, I just, for my career, whatever. You're like, well, you got to give her a sibling so she won't be selfish, so she won't be spoiled. And so I'm sick of that conversation. Yeah. I'm like, well, fuck it. I'll just have another one. Fuck it. Fuck y'all, you know?
Oh, so you would have a kid based on comments from people on the internet?
No, it's not that. It's that compounded with
that's
the family
sort of the joke.
Questions and stuff. Right, like
that's
this is,
the joke.
This
right.
is the first time in my life where I'm like, do I? I mean, I think we all we're in the age of like TikTok made me buy it, and I bought this super cute thing off of Instagram, and like, damn,
TikTok
Amber's been
is
working
selling
out.
Babies.
Amber's working out. I should go start working out too. It's all of it.
Yeah,
so
damn,
it's not just the internet. It's just
really
like
fascinating.
The internet reminds me to go start working out and buy clothes. So now the internet is like, you'll see it advertised in things like, this car is great as a great family vehicle for my kids.
I've never
kids.
Thought of that.
Here's
that,
a soccer mom
yeah.
band.
Influencing this is, as influencing people to have children as well.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Like, and, or like the way things are packaged even, it's like, this is a perfect house for a family of four, a little girl, a little boy, a dog. And so there's not a lot of messaging around like, nope, this is just like a house with one kid and the family's happy. They didn't have a second one because they didn't want a second child. They just wanted to prioritize this child.
The college professor.
Watch me have a second child and people be like, what the
see,
fuck?
The college professor I respected the most, as far like him and his wife had a very great relationship, and I loved like they walked every morning, every Friday night they had a date night, like a, they would like this is our, they went to like McDonald's or something, it wasn't fancy, and they just every single Friday night they sat together, they discussed, and then they traveled the world together, and I this was a very conservative Christian professor I had, and him and his wife just had a very happy. He had a very, very happy relationship, and they only had one kid. And so I look at that as an ideal, where I see – when I see people with more kids, I'm like, more kids, more problems. More kids, more chances.
Because you grew up in a family of four
kids.
I grew up in a family of three, so I was just like, oh, well, we're probably going to have a gaggle of children too because, like – but
– No. So it this
– We also travel a lot. We like to eat out a lot. We like to go –
Yeah, I had to call Amber out because Amber and I were like, Amber wanted to have a kid at the end. And I was like, yeah, we can do that. And then at the end of this year, you're like hoping to be pregnant.
Yeah, I was like, yo, this is the year we got to go for number two.
So yeah, she says this.
Again, I could be pregnant right now. I don't
know. Could be.
I'm probably not.
A few months later, you have this like crisis of faith where you're like, everything I do doesn't have to be with you, Ben. Like, we do everything together. We go everywhere together. And I was like, and you want to do more of like your individual stand up. You want to do more individual kinds of things, which you've been doing. And I'm like, dude, you cannot, if this is what you want, if you're looking to build this empire, we have like a great announcement here. In a little bit, we'll share.
About the podcast. This is not going anywhere.
Yeah, we have a great...
but that's the thing. You have to say that now.
So,
I can't announce anything without prefacing what it's about.
Yeah,
because if it's not baby, who cares?
Yeah, who cares? So I told... Well, yes, yeah, so we should have not said that. So that they keep listening. Anyway, so...
I see.
My thing was like, all right, so you want your individuality, but if you get pregnant, you're going to lose that. Like... Just knowing our dynamic is that you're not gonna be able to host as much. You're not gonna be able to late night comedy as much as you wanted to.
I don't want
to
make moms out there think like if you get pregnant everything's over. It's like if my lifestyle
and
right
your
now,
career. Let's be honest though, like in your career, and this is not it's not fair, it's not right. But if you think of what happened on Buffy, where that actress, do you remember this, Josh Whedon? Treated this pregnant woman like shit, and he got called out for it and everything. But I was like, okay, knowing
that was a career ending pregnancy.
It was a career ending pregnancy, and that happens. And there was a whole joke. I saw this stand up comedian being like, "I'm a female comedian. Of course, if I get pregnant, I have an abortion." Like there was this whole like as a joke. She's like, "I'm a female comedian." The men don't think I'm funny, but they follow me because I have tits. And then she
It was it's good dark humor.
Good dark humor, but there's this element of truthiness to it where you were like, I don't want to have to rely on you, Ben. And I was like, hey, well, if you get pregnant, you know, you really relied on me on the last
time.
But
I just love how you, like, you do that thing my brother does. It's like, he'll call and be like, Shawty turned up pregnant. I don't know what's going on. I'm like, I love how, like, the pregnancy has nothing to do with you.
No, it has everything to do with me.
I love how the pregnancy. I love how I turn up pregnant.
No, it has everything to do with me. That's what I was saying. So
right.
I sat her down.
I'm
was
just
like,
saying, like, I'm like, but you know how babies are made, right? So you're doing all this, but then you go home.
Wait,
and it's a
I'm confused.
Story.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about you're involved with the conception as well.
That's what I'm saying. And I was
so you love to have this conversation after you've been involved with how the conception has happened.
Right. So we were trying to have a kid, but then you had this blow up. You were like crying, telling me like
that's usual.
But you're like I need more independence. Like I do everything with Wild. Like I'm just seen as a mom. I want to be like a comedian in my own right. And you're like going on and on. I'm like, well, getting pregnant a second time is not going to help with that rebranding. And I like had to call her out. And I was like, also we live in LA. Surprise, surprise, we're going to do a bunch of content. We're going to Italy. And like, I was like, you can't keep on planning these trips and doing this shit and saving up money. Like, I was like, are you kidding me? We have to put money away for Wild's education fund.
Yeah, we've been doing
Now we're doubling that if you have a second kid. So I had to like give Amber a reality check. Because I was like, you want these
two things.
But sometimes
you act like you want it too.
I do want it, but I don't want it at the cost of the things that you want for your professional life. And I think that would create resentment and create a household that you would not want to raise two kids in. And the reality of our specific situation is that when you live in LA, it's housing is so expensive.
Yeah.
There's this element of keeping up with the Joneses that we try not to be part of, but also you can't not be part of a little.
You can't not be a part of it.
Like,
we're
do
not a
have
part
to,
of it in the, like, I'm going to go get plastic surgery tomorrow, but I,
but
am
I do have
of,
to
like,
buy nice
I need
fucking
to start working
clothes.
Out. Like, we're, the fuck? Everybody's in shape and hiking and going to events. Like, I want to look good in these spaghetti images too. Shit.
But maybe less the working out, but more of buying, like, you have to buy nicer clothes and you have to. I've bought more clothes living in LA for the past year than I did my entire fucking life, to be honest with you, because there's a lot of like specialty events where when I was teaching, I had my teaching clothes and then I had my weekend clothes, which was like sweatpants.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Are these weekend clothes? Are the weekend clothes in the room with us? Because I don't remember no weekend clothes.
Those were my weekend clothes. So
you're right.
I did have to give you, I was like, right now, and people can have a career and be moms too. But I was like, we are not, our society doesn't value moms. It doesn't value stay-at-home parents. So if you have a second kid, we are going to potentially, like, lose. You're not going to be able to do as much as the things that you want to do. That's the reality of the situation for us. And,
what you going to do if I'm pregnant?
I mean, we'll make it work.
Make it work, but you're right.
But you'll have to lean more into the mommy content. Yeah, like, pregnant, like, you're like, no. Here's my pregnancy content. And I brought that up, and you're like, I don't want to do that. I want to, like, make funny jokes, you know?
Yeah. You're right. Like.
But you had your line sister baby was sort of.
Who was child-free. She's like, well, she's also planning to move to LA soon, so she's like. If you have a baby, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, because
like,
you're like, I want to go out and party.
Like, I
want to
hang out.
Yeah.
She's like, you're my only mom friend that doesn't talk nonstop about her kids.
Yes.
She's like, I really do want to remind the listeners that it's not my friend. My best friend did not talk me out of having a baby. She just reminded me. She's like, is this what you really want? Because every time I talk to you, you're telling me you're writing a pilot. You're telling me one day you want to write a one-woman show. You're telling me that bigger, better things are happening for your podcast. And so now you're telling me you also want a kid? Like, how is all this going to fit? And so I don't know. I've really been, in my mind, I've never seen myself having just one kid. Whereas now I'm just really starting to, like, think about, like, you know what? We might be a one-child household, and that is enough.
Well, you were reading about.
I was reading.
So can you share a little bit about the things?
Yeah.
Because this is a. This is a phenomenon where more and more people are having to go the route of Amber and I simply because of where we live. Like, maybe if we lived in the middle of bumfuck Ohio, we could afford having two kids.
Yeah.
The educational system would be a little bit better in sort of rural, like, suburban settings. That's not our situation.
Yeah, I did some research also, and it talked about how the one kid household is slowly growing and becoming more normalized in the States, but also, like, in Europe, the one kid household is, like, king.
The standard.
It's the standard. And it's just and so it's becoming a one kid household because of just, like, inflation, prices are going up, and people are just rejecting this notion that, like, if I only have one kid, that means they're going to be a brat. Like, no. Like,
no. My littlest sister is the brattiest one, and she has three older siblings. You know what I mean?
Right. we love you
guys. I love you.
But I just, I don't know. I can't just be like, well, I should have a second one because I don't want Wild to be spoiled. Wild's going to be spoiled. Whether she.
I don't think she is. You make her clean up today. She cleaned up all the salt things that she took out.
But
like,
I'm obsessed with her, and so are you. Like,
no,
she's
but
going
we
to
create
be a
pretty good.
Bit.
We create good boundaries. She's not. We both do, Amber. Don't do me like that. When it's time to go, we leave. We take her. We don't.
You're getting better. But remember those days when she would climb on something, and I'm like, get down, Wild, and you'd be.
Oh,
like,
that's exploratory. I'm like,
but do you recognize whenever you ask her to do something, I have your back?
Yeah.
And then when I ask her to do
something,
I
have your back. Don't say I don't have your back. I support
you. Sometimes
you
have my back, and sometimes
most
you're like,
times
she's
I
exploring.
Do.
Like,
I will
what
push
you just
back.
Did, that's what you'd be doing sometimes.
I will push. You know what? I'll put a nice, like, cool fucking outfit on her, and you're like, I don't like that. I don't like that outfit. You make you go and you change
because
her.
It doesn't match the
don't,
bows or
don't,
hair.
Don't do that to me because you do the
but
same thing. We both do the same thing.
But that has nothing to do with her.
You're teaching
behavior.
Her how to be a diva. Like, oh, these don't fit.
On these hoes at the playground, I am indeed.
Teaching someone how
indeed.
To stunt on the hoes on the playground as a fucking 2-year-old is
and
hilarious.
What? You've seen those snotty children at the playground. I'm teaching
getting dirty
why,
and getting wild. That's good. That's
I know. I'm aware, but I'm just saying I'm teaching wild to, you know, have a little strut in her step and be cute.
That's spoiled behavior.
That's why I just said she's probably going to be spoiled because
but
she's
I'm
my
saying,
child.
I'm saying, and you're saying I'm spoiling her. Because
Ben, she eats sushi. She eats ahi tuna and mushrooms and creme brulee from France. She might be a little bit spoiled.
Culture, not spoiled.
Culture. Okay, culture.
What does spoiled culture? Mean to you?
She's used to like some of the finer things in life. She's not going to Jekyll Island. She's going to Amsterdam.
So reference to our last episode.
She'll probably go to private school because we'll probably save up.
But what you're saying, like things where people
she,
could
and
do
she might
all
have
those
a little
things.
Bit of an attitude when she cries for the cheddar bunnies. Both you and I go running.
So
and when we're like no wild no, she could probably tantrum long enough to sucker it out of one of us.
I think that's normal toddler behavior. But what is spoiled behavior? What is a spoiled?
Spoiled.
So
is
I think
if you pitch
standard,
a hissy fit and we bend the knee to your will, you're gonna be a little spoiled.
I think Willy Wonka, you know, with the blue
Augustus Gloop.
Yeah, that is the standard. No, no, the
or
woman
Violet Beauregard.
Yeah,
Veruca Salt.
The okay.
I want a pony now.
Yeah, that's the standard spoiled behavior. This idea that you can manipulate your parents and they set boundaries and don't keep to them. Both of us set boundaries. She goes to bed at a certain time. She
That's
sleeps
true.
In her bed.
That's
like,
true.
Even when she gets up, I'll walk her back to her room, maybe put her back in her bed.
That's true.
So there are certain. So I don't think we're endangered of that. So give us some credit. Again, like I said, one of our episodes, we're not doing great.
You said we're not doing great now.
No, I'm saying we are working, and there's so much room to grow, and there's always a better job we can be doing. Yeah. So we're continuing to aim for that perfection.
I do
want
to retract this.
Like,
she's not going to be spoiled because she goes to private school.
Right. Or
like she's not going to be spoiled because we are investing in her education.
Or
and
she's not spoiled because she eats sushi or she eats different food. That's not spoiled behavior. Spoiled
right.
behavior is the relationship between the parent and the kid and
right.
the way that the kid treats their parent in a disrespectful
I mean like diva. She's going to be a little deep. She's going to be a little cultured.
Okay. Yeah, I can deal with that. Yeah, I like that. But
I also found something, some research. I'll link some
So it's money,
here.
Money woes,
but back
inflation.
In the day,
yeah.
I was actually reading in one article that people used to have more kids back in the day because you needed people to tend
right,
to the land,
yeah.
which is like
we don't
my
live
mother
anywhere near a farm. But your
my
mom.
My mother is one of 6 children, and my grandparents had a farm.
Right,
so
that
grew
makes
up,
sense.
Like, wrangling
working.
Cows and pigs and breaking in horses and doing all of that kind of stuff because back in the day you needed workers.
You needed, yeah.
And the best way to get those workers was to have kids. And so now we're like my mother was from a family of 6, one of 6. Then she had 3 kids. So this is kind of like how generations operate.
Right. So it's
if we pop up pregnant, y'all just delete this from your brains. But at least I'm finding. It's the me wanting a second child is also or me thinking I have to have a second child is also a symptom of a larger problem is that like we I don't know even as Americans or we as millennials or we as like children of the internet see things and want more more more. It's a symptom of overconsumption in some ways. I'm not saying that if you have 2 kids you're overconsuming, but it's like. If I didn't
the
have
the desire to have more,
the
maybe.
Desire to have more is because sometimes you'll just see things on your feed and you're like, ah, oh, this family looks so cute and they
and
have
2
kids. Like maybe we should have a second one, Ben. The Obamas have 2 girls. We should have another girl. Like you'll just see things and sometimes you have to like hop out of the matrix and be like, do I actually want a second child? Is my life right now conducive to a second child? Like that is beautiful for their family. Like I just want to get to this place where I'm like, I'm happy for other people and what I'm seeing them do. That doesn't mean I need to do what they're doing. And that's honestly why the internet is so successful because it's like if people feel like they're seeing their friends and seeing new opportunities going on, like, they're going to be jealous or they're going to buy the thing. Like, it's like, it's why, you know, a lot of the toxicity of when I was in the yoga culture as well. It's like, well, when you learn to do a handstand, you'll be more enlightened. Well, when you learn to do a split, well, when you take this Reiki program, well, when you do this thing and you're like, I'm still sad. So what are we going to do here? You know, but you think all of that stuff is going to fix your psyche. I don't know. If you have a second child out there and you mostly had that second child due to societal pressure, I would love to hear from you. I'm sure this is not, you like, you know, I, just share your story. Yeah. I'll make it anonymous. It doesn't mean you don't love your second child. It doesn't mean you don't love your other children. But if you're saying like, yo, I'll be honest with you, my life will be easier with just the one, I would love to hear from you. Is that a safe place to leave that conversation?
Yeah. Let's go to round three.
Round three.
Do's and don'ts of relationships.
You said it perfectly. Cue music.
I do, I do. I do, I do. I do, I do. I do, I do.
All right, let's listen to our first voicemail.
Hi, Amber and Ben. I've been listening to you guys for a little bit. I've been following you on TikTok for the longest time, so I'm not sure if you already answered this question, but I am 5 months postpartum, and I know you guys already have a little one who will be two in April. And I was just wondering, how did you guys deal with the postpartum rage? Because, you know, you're going through everything, and then the baby's not sleeping, and my baby just started teething, and, like, me and my fiance are just, you know, going through the motions of trying to figure out how to, you know, balance our life and his life. But it's just so hard because I feel like I get so irritated so easily. And I just want to know, like, what tips did you guys have for, you know, fostering your relationship during, like, such a big transitional period? Okay, thank you guys so much. Have a great rest of your day.
How awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you for this question.
I also like that person's tone of voice or something just about them that was like, oh yeah, like I have this problem, let me try to get some advice, let me try to work on it and move forward. I don't know, there's something nice about that.
Yeah I think I'm not sure if we learned this during postpartum specifically, but sometime in the past year or so, you and I, maybe we learned it from like Brene Brown or something. You showed me this video about Brene Brown maybe saying something like letting your partner know, like how people talk all the time about how a relationship should be 50-50, whatever. A relationship should be, you know, split evenly. And I think Brene Brown, I really hope it's her.
It's her. It's Brene Brown.
It is. So she was talking about like how relationships aren't always 50-50. Like sometimes they're 20-80. Sometimes they're 30-70. Sometimes they're 90-10. And how it's super important to let your partner know where you are, because if I come in the house and Ben expects me to be on 50, I need to communicate with him that, like, baby, today I'm on 10. I might be on 5%. Like, I have very little energy, because it's kind of like an energy report. Mm-hmm. An energy report, a tolerance report, a capacity report, a bandwidth report of where I'm at. And so there have just been days where I'm like, you know, Ben will take, like, a nap in the middle of the day or something, and he's – because Ben sometimes just needs a little bit more time to, like, do a couple tasks, take a little bit of a break, then do a couple tasks. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, you're a grown-ass man. Why the hell are you in the bed, like, at noon? Like, come on. Like, we got stuff to do. And so sometimes I need from you a little bit of that, like, but I'm on 10% right now because I just did these four things. Like, communicating what percent that we're on was super helpful, you know? Like, with a number, quantifying it is helpful, because I think sometimes you or I will be like, I'm tired. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, okay, I hear you saying you're tired, but like, too tired to go over the outline for the show, or like, too tired to go on this date that we're about to go on? Like, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the daily check-ins were really, really helpful. I feel like I need to justify taking a nap in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
Like right now on this podcast, because people think like taking naps is like a very lazy behavior. I think what we have to understand is that we both watch Wild. You know, we do have like someone who comes and helps like nanny like every week if we have to come here to the podcast or do things together. But the thing is, Amber and I work basically from like 8 to 8, And then when we're not working, once Wilde's asleep, like I'm doing, like I want to, I'm working on writing a book and writing short stories. I'm taking a class. So we're constantly working big, anywhere between like 12, 13 hours, 14 hours a day. Like after this podcast, we're going to go see a movie, and that movie is going to be part of our work as well, where we'll do some recording. We'll go out to eat. We'll like, you know, make some funny videos on that. But then we'll come home and then we'll probably talk for a little bit about what we're doing the next day. So we're constantly working. So naps for me, because I do need a lot of sleep, just how my body operates. Naps, I do have to take a nap. And Amber thinks, Amber's had to realize that I take that nap so I'm recharged or whatever. So finding out your recharge is really, really important. And then the constant communication of like what,
yeah,
what you can get. But they were also asking like the rage, like how did you deal with being angry when, you know, things in like the baby wasn't getting his sleep, or you didn't get, you were not getting what you needed. Because I think a big one is that when Wilde, at 5 months, Amber and I went and lived with her parents for about 2 months. So being near family was so helpful.
Yeah, and I forgot about that. And we went to therapy for a while, too.
Yeah, we went to therapy as well, and that was really, really helpful. Going to the therapist, that woman, oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, we did
in Chicago.
Go to, yeah,
yep,
Chicago.
Sure
she
did.
Was really great. That was
she
early.
Was
this was at this point. So we were at this point. I remember going to a therapist, bringing the baby with us.
Oh, my gosh. She did let us bring Wilde with us.
She let us
oh
bring
my
the
gosh.
Baby.
That's so funny to think about.
Yep.
Now.
She let us bring the baby with us because at this point, you could not bring Wilde anywhere. And so we would go to therapy. And then we really relied on other people outside of the two of us. Like, that's the big key. It's
the community. Oh, of course.
The larger community. So, again, I say this all the time. Like, go to church if you don't have family.
You say what all
I
the time?
I say all the time, go to church for the community. Find a church that meets you. Go to the church with the little pride flag on it.
Got you. I was like, B is lying.
No, I say go to church. I'm like, community,
after
church.
Dissing the church in the first half of the show.
Or the Catholic church, they're different. But even there are some Catholic churches that are pretty dope, and they do some really dope things. Like, I remember in Bethlehem, there was a Catholic church I went to, and I talked to one of the priests there. He was, like, super cool.
Gotcha.
Bethlehem, though you don't know, it's, like, being bombed and, like, well, I don't know if Bethlehem was, but definitely being attacked, and they canceled Christmas this year. It's in the West Bank because Israel is a fucking evil organization. I don't know. Yeah, it's insane to me. But the Catholic Church throughout the West Bank, the Catholic churches I saw are like just really, really cool. So there are cool Catholic churches. But yeah, not to get super, you know, I just want to clear there. I do like churches, and I think going to finding a church to help you raise your kid, finding that community could be really, really helpful.
So I guess our takeaways would be like find your community.
Find your community.
Let your partner recharge. But an addendum to that is partners, tell us what, quantify what energy level you're on. Because I don't mind you taking a nap in the middle of the day. I mind when I have no clue. Like sometimes, there was a point sometimes, and maybe it was like depression when we first moved here, but sometimes you would wake up and take a nap. I'm like, what is he tired from? He just woke up. He woke up.
He walked downstairs
and he went back to sleep. That ain't even called a nap.
Yeah,
that's called. Because
I was going to bed so late because I was watching Wilde throughout the entire day, and then as soon as she got to bed, I would stay up late.
Yes, you would stay up till 1 or 2 a.m.
So stupid.
And I'm like,
I tell you all the time,
Ben, you because Ben's not like me. I can go to sleep at 2 a.m., wake up at 6, and be on.
I need a minimum of like 10 hours of sleep to be successful.
And Ben's like, I'm gonna stay up drinking all night. And then I'm going to sleep in the next day. I'm just like, no.
Such bad behavior.
No. Yeah, whereas now you'll do a couple of things, and then you'll – I'm hoping we even get even better about this. Like, you're going to be like, hey, I'm on 10%. I need a 30-minute nap. Like, that's all I need. I need the communication of, like, fine, nap. How long you'll be down? Because I don't know how to budget my time. Like, if what was on my to-do list was review the podcast outline with Ben, and he goes to sleep, I'm like, okay. Well, how long I got to play with? Do I have time to go make a TikTok video long? Do I have time to take a meeting long? Or are you going down for 5 minutes, coming right back up? Like, that's what it is for me. So, like, and I think you're getting a lot better about, like, I need to read for 30 minutes, set an alarm. At the end of this 30 minutes, I got you.
Yeah.
So, like, find some space, please, for the postpartum girlies out there to get out of the house for, like, an hour if you can. Like, I know that probably feels, like, impossible. But get out of the house, like, without the baby, by yourself. Yeah. Just so you can smell a little bit of what your former life was. And then you're like, okay, I've reset. I'm right back in it. You think that's a good plan?
That's great advice.
You want to listen to the next one?
Yeah. Boom.
Oh, we got another mom. Moms, I love y'all. Virtual love to the mamas.
Hi, Amber and Ben. Just want to start off to say that I love both you guys. I started watching your TikToks a couple years ago. And then I've recently found your podcast. I've just been going down the rabbit hole of watching, like, all of your YouTube videos. So you guys are doing a great job, and I love you. Anyway, to my question. So I am a 26-year-old wife with two young kids, and I feel like I don't have much of my own, like, just my own personality. Like, I don't really go out. I don't have many friends. I think I have, like, two friends. And, like, I don't really do stuff just for me. Like, it's always me and my husband or me and my kids. So I guess I just wanted to ask, like, how can I put myself out there? Like, how can I make long-term friends or things of that nature? But, yeah, just anything will probably help. Thank you so much. Bye.
What you got, babe? You're good at this. You've been starting this.
I sympathize with this person so much because it is hard to make friends when you're watching Wild. Like, when I was watching Wild when we first moved here, which was a lot, you know.
Oh, 100%. You were.
And it was so exhausting, and it was so, at times, I enjoyed it, but it didn't feel like work because I wasn't getting paid for it. It just felt like drudgery, you know. And I enjoyed doing things with her and taking her to swim lessons. But I feel like I didn't have any long goals, you know? Like, there was no – I felt sort of purposeless in that sense. Like, I'm just here to watch her, you know? And so the way I got around doing that is that I think finding a book club was really helpful for me, and then finding the running group that was really helpful for me. And then the other thing is telling Amber, like, hey – I'm going to go and do something for an hour at a coffee shop or just going somewhere. And I know you have two kids, but you got your partner. And so just do something small, like go to a coffee shop, 30 minutes.
Massage too.
Yeah.
Even last week, I feel like you took yourself to go get a foot massage. And I was like, you know what? Go.
Yeah.
Go. I got the baby. Get out of here.
I took a 30-minute foot massage. And it was just 30 minutes. And it was at this smaller, like, foot massage areas, you know. One of our podcast, a couple episodes, wasn't one, Lacey was on here. She was talking about, like, the big big massages where you go, and the big spas, or, like, you don't have to do that. So you can do a 30-minute. But I think, like, a 30-minute thing would be really cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
You make me so sad that you felt purposeless. That's crazy.
Yeah, when you're just, like.
Because you're so helpful, and you're such a great dad, like.
Yeah, but there's no, like, because that was, like, all my identity for a little bit. It was, like, all right, swim lessons, the library story time. Yeah.
You were just helping me with so many things, though. Like,
I know, but it was helping you. Like, I didn't have my. I sort of, like, understood a little bit about this person, especially when I was, like, a teacher and I was, like, doing the like, I had, like, my own Cheers bar and, like. And I still trying to find that here, you know. Oh, don't cry.
I know. I just feel a little guilty because, like,
I think you should feel guilty, but, like, I think that's, like, important, you know.
This is why I love you, because you're gonna you should feel guilty. I left all of my friends.
Yeah, no, but, like, I think once I started, once you started having me, like, do more of this stuff with you, you know.
Yeah.
Like, being more involved, you know. Yeah, yes. Oh, man, and her makeup's getting ruined.
No, it's not.
She has such energy.
You know,
I think when I started making more content, and I took over the Fly on the Wall In page and tried to do more stuff with that, and then tried to do more
stories.
It just
took a little time for us
to
get.
So hard.
Because I felt like that, too. I was like, anything somebody invites me to, like, let me go meet them because I got to make some friends. But then it's like, I didn't think about, like, we both needed to make friends. Yeah. We both needed to find. It's been very difficult to find community in L.A. in some ways, right? A little bit.
Yeah.
I think. I'm losing it.
It's not. It hasn't been too difficult. It just
not like it was in Chicago.
Well,
like,
no, Chicago. It took the same amount of time, but we were younger.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
So we could go out more.
We could go out more. I think LA is. A lot of people hate on LA as being this like uniquely difficult place to make community. But I think a lot of people are looking for community in the wrong places. So yeah, for me, this book club, like. I love this book club. I really look forward to it. The running club is cool, but I'm running with people who are not necessarily – they're not, like, trying to be comedians. Or if they are, they're not here to talk about that. They're here to run. They're here to discuss comic books.
I was so happy when you found that running group and your comic book group and, like – and now your writing group.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm taking a writing – I take a class – so if there's some sort of pottery class or, I don't know, find
the sex parties. We are finding like community. Many holes in.
Many, various holes.
Various
holes. Glory
holes
in all. churches. We should probably look for a church. I do want to start going to church.
Okay.
To this person's point, like, do something small. Just take yourself out. 30 minutes. Do it, look on Meetup. See if like the local library.
You need a weekly foot massage. Whatever you want.
Me?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Because you always asking me to rub on your feet. I'm like, I can't rub it like Tina down at the spot.
It's not Tina who does mine. Feet, though.
Okay, who is it, Ben? Who is it?
It's a man. He's great. Oh my god.
These are happy tears. I'm fine. I'm glad that you're in a play. Like, you found people on Meetup too, right?
Yeah, Meetup is great.
Meetup is good for friendships and things like that.
Meetup is so good. Please, I would love to do a brand deal with Meetup. I think they're so fantastic.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
I have the team. I have the agent reach out.
It's so wonderful because they really do have things for everybody. Like a Frisbee club. There's a Meetup Frisbee club that I was in part of Chicago for a moment. My book clubs, all that. You know.
Yeah.
You got to find the thing that you love.
You're happy now, though, right?
I'm very happy now. When you're happy.
No. The whole point is to prioritize.
My happiness is contingent on your happiness.
No.
Just kidding.
Well, I'm very happy. Wipe my face. Oh, my God. I look like Viola Davis right now. This is insane.
Like Viola Davis, Academy Award winning.
Yeah, when she's like snot crying. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Fly on the Wild and Podcast. We'll see y'all on the internet. Bye, y'all.
Bye.
You know they're from TikTok, cause those laughs keep you coming, cause they're wilding all the time. Before Wild throws a tantrum, they sing to our silly anthem, cause they're wilding all the time. Don't swap while Amber squats, and does her dance to please her plants, and Ben reads books while serving looks, Wild is wilding all the time. Fly, fly, oh, to be a fly. Fly, fly, come and be a fly on the wall. Leave.
Wayfair's biggest sale of the year is back. Get ready for Way Day. For 3 days only, May 4th through May 6th, you can get up to 80% off at Wayfair. Save on sofas and cookware, dining sets and rugs and beds, wall art, bar carts, floor lamps, ceiling fans, home decor, all things outdoor, and way more. Plus, everything ships free. Don't miss the sale to get up to 80% off everything home, even a garden gnome. Way Day starts May 4th. Head to Wayfair.com now to start filling your cart.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.